Good morning. Good morning, friends, and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. And whether you've been here your whole life or this is your first time in worship, we are glad that you found your way here this morning. And hopefully everyone made their way here safely this morning. A lot of ice. Take a look at your bulletin, and there are announcements, a calendar, all of the ways that we are church together. If you have a question, don't hesitate to ask someone who will be at the communion table following worship this morning to receive any of your questions. This morning we are celebrating the Sacrament of Communion. Please note that the table is open to all who desire to partake the meal together. We do have a few announcements this morning. First, our Jamaica team is here, and we have our last meeting today. And this morning, we will also be commissioned here in worship. And if you all here would please take note that when the group leaves, which won't be until February 16th, but we take with us the cards of your prayers and well wishes. They are out in the hallway, so if folks would go ahead and sign those, that would be wonderful. Also, a note, take a look in your bulletin. There is some more information about our next conversation with Pathstone regarding the property development, so we would invite everyone to be a part of that meeting. And we have a few other announcements. Al?
Good morning. Happy February. February is one of the months that we serve a meal at St. Joseph's. We do it four times a year, and this is the first one for this calendar year. So the sign-up sheet is out on the sign-up board in the kiosk and in the narthex. In your bulletin is a written words of when it's going to be. It's going to be on the third Saturday. The serving is on the third Saturday of February, the 16th, and we prepare the meal Friday night at 6:30 on the night before. One minor change, sign up for people to come and serve on Saturday. The junior highs are planning to be the main people that are serving, but there's a limited number of junior highs this year, so we need a few people to help out with the junior highs and sign up for that. So in addition, if the ice and snow and rain has got you worried about shopping, you can see me and give me some money and I'll go shopping for you. So hope to see you. Another announcement along the same lines of feeding the hungry is next weekend, Saturday the 9th at 10 o'clock, we're having the food link truck stop by and drop off 10 to 12 pallet loads of food to serve to those that are in need. Probably 100 to 120 people will show up here at GPC to get food. We need help taking the food off of the pallets and putting them on tables so that the people can easily go through the fellowship hall and pick up their food supplies. So it will not be outside. This is the first time we've tried it inside. So you'll be cozy and warm in the fellowship hall, but we need lots of hands to get all this food ready to hand out to the people. So that's next Saturday. Someplace around 10 or 11 o'clock in the morning we start in, and it runs till about 1 or 2 in the afternoon. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. A few things today. First up, if you look inside your bulletin, there's an insert, and it explains a little bit more about what our lovely junior highs are doing at the door. It's called the Super Bowl of Caring. And if you didn't bring a can of soup on your way in, don't worry. You still have the opportunity to donate a dollar or two on your way out. So thank you so much for supporting that cause. Another thing, if you take out your beautiful purple insert, You'll see a great big picture. We started something new for our families with young children. These are reusable worship bags. So they're labeled ages 0 to 3 or 3 plus, and it's to help our families with young kids spend a little bit more time relaxing instead of worrying about how to keep kids occupied during difficult moments. So also in the purple insert, if you flip it over to the other side, there's a section about our GPC intergenerational retreat. This is a new thing we thought of. Since we didn't have our senior high retreat this year, we wanted to provide an opportunity for families or people of all ages to come together. Our theme for Lent this year is the path of forgiveness, healing ourselves and our world. So this is just going to be on Saturday, March 16th, if we have enough interest. And it'll be a day of exploring the theme for Lent and the book, Desmond Tutu's The Book of Forgiving. So it'll be cool if you can all make it. We do need to get our RSVPs in soon if we're going to do this. So please look in the kiosk for more information, and you can sign up there or email me if you are interested. And I think that's all for me, so thank you.
And now, friends, let us prepare our hearts, our minds, our entire selves to worship God. And together as we are able for the call to worship. We gather to share God's good news. We gather to be transformed as the world is changed. In this time of worship, may we be fed in body and soul. As we sing and pray, as we break the bread and pour the cup, may the Spirit of the Lord fall upon us. May we be refreshed, anointed, and empowered.
Please join me in the prayer of confession. If we say we are completely put together, the truth is not in us. But if we confess our distractions, our errors, and our anxieties, God will meet us and renew us. Before God and God's people, I confess that I have been reluctant to speak out clearly, naming the injustice I see and declaring God's vision. Before God and one another, we confess our reluctance to receiving our calling as God's people, made by God and chosen as witnesses to God's dream of justice and joy. Remind me, God, that you have made me for your service and recharge me with your word. Renew us, God. Grant us courage to live out your way of peace and grace. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God has promised that whenever we repent and seek a new union with God, forgiveness is ours. That promise comes true now. Sisters and brothers, know that in Christ Jesus we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen.
At this time, I invite the children to come forward. Good morning. And as the children are making their way forward, I would also invite the Jamaica mission team that is traveling here in a few weeks, along with the advisors, forward. Let's see. All right, Jamaica mission team, you get the pew. Lucky you. And I'll also have Kay Harder come forward. Yes, good morning. Were they bobsled? Yes, I love that movie. Cool Runnings. And when we go to the airport, we also get to see a sled that they would have used in that movie. It's pretty cool. So one of the great things that I love about Gates Presbyterian Church is that from the time that we are teeny little tiny people to the time we get to be older people, here we provide all sorts of opportunities for us to learn how to serve our neighbors. We learn how to serve our neighbors by sharing food, by being with people who are sad or sick or lonely. There are so many different ways. Did you know that you can help provide food next weekend if you wanted to come and help out with FoodLink? And if you look right behind you, see these great group of folks here? These are the graduating seniors here at Gates Presbyterian Church who have been serving their neighbors for quite a while now. And it is their opportunity to travel to Jamaica to serve alongside our neighbors in Jamaica. So I'm going to introduce them one by one and just have them stand. And Mrs. Harder over there is going to help commission, which means to pray and to send out into the world to serve our neighbors. So I'll have Kay make her way to the pulpit. And I'll have Maya Charcola stand, and then Zach, and Melina, and Dana, B, Lauren, and Tommy, and Kyle, and Natalie, and Tammy, and Beth, and Keith, and then there's one more. Guess who that is? Me. Good guess. That's because you know I won't be here. All right. All yours.
Goody. All right, this wonderful mission team will leave very early in the morning on Saturday, February 16th, to travel to Jamaica. They will work with our partners at the United Church of Jamaica in Green Island, Negril, and Santoy. They will be working with the students, teachers, and staff at the basic school. This year, they will be working with the staff and children at the basic school and providing improvement to the school. So, mission participants, do you accept this work, understanding it as an expression of your love for God and for God's people? If so, please say, I do.
I do.
As you do this work, will you also open your hearts to the people of the Green Island and Negril communities, continuing to build the partnership between Gates Presbyterian and the United Church of Jamaica? If so, say, I will.
I will.
Will you listen to the life stories of the people of Jamaica, and will you share your stories with them so that together you will discover ways in which God is working in the world? If so, please say, I will.
I will.
Members of Gates Presbyterian Church, will you pray for these mission travelers as they seek to serve God? If so, please say, I will.
I will.
Let us pray together. O God, who calls us to service, we pray for this Jamaican mission team. Keep them safe in their travels. Focus them on their purpose. Energize them for their work. Help them to experience you in the partnership we have with the United Church of Jamaica. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jamaica Mission Team. You can go back and sit wherever, and I'll see you after worship. And friends, you all can go to Sunday school. I hope you have fun today. You gonna have fun today? Okay.
Our first reading this morning is Psalm 19. The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night declares knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words, their voice is not heard. Yet their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In the heavens he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom from his wedding canopy, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and nothing is hid from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is clear, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are true, and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned, and keeping them there is great reward. But who can detect their errors? Clear me from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from the insolent. Do not let them have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Thank you.
Now, so that you don't think you are stuck in Groundhog's Day or the movie, I just want to give you a little bit of a heads up that for the next 2 weeks, I'm going to read the same gospel reading from Luke chapter 4. The lectionary breaks these verses up into two separate readings for two separate weeks, but reading over the entirety of these verses, I believe that we lose something in the importance of the narrative focus, or in other words, we just don't get the whole story, which is important because in this story, we hear about the beginning of Jesus' ministry right after his baptism and the 40 days that he spends in the wilderness. And when we listen to the whole story carefully, we can also hear echoes of the end of Jesus' earthly ministry. The way the crowds grow excited with the good news of the gospel and then quickly call for his death when they realize the implications for their lives. And while today I want you to hear the whole story, the sermon will concentrate basically on the first half. More specifically, the first sermon that Jesus ever gives. So listen now for God's words to God's people today as they are told through the Gospel of Luke. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. And he stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then Jesus rolled up the scroll. He gave it back to the attendant, and he sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" He said to them, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Doctor, cure yourself,' and you will say, 'Do here also in your hometown the things we have heard you do in Capernaum.'" And he said to them, "Truly I tell you, no prophet is accepted in the prophet's hometown. But the truth is, there were many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah, when the heavens was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a severe famine over all the land. And yet Elijah was sent to none of them, except the widow of Zarephath in Sidon. There were also many lepers in Israel, and none of them was cleansed except for Naaman the Syrian." When they heard all of this, all in the synagogue were filled with rage. They got up and they drove him out of town and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they might hurl him off a cliff. but he passed through the midst of them and went on his way. The story starts off, it's a pretty ordinary Sabbath day. I'm really not sure that anyone was expecting anything more than the usual trip to synagogue to hear the preacher. In the Jewish tradition, at the time of Jesus, the preacher was normally not the rabbi, more of a teacher of sorts, who read from the scrolls and offered comments on the verses. Religious scholar Diana Butler Bass notes that the preaching style of Jesus' day was widely practiced and expected by congregations. That the preacher would take the biblical verses literally out of their textual context, such historical criticism as understanding contextual context is, of course, a modern development, and the speaker would apply them to the religious and political and ethical questions all around. She says that preaching involved making an ancient story, the wisdom of the prophets, alive for that day. So Jesus does that, standing on what I imagine is similar to this, a slightly raised platform. The synagogue leader hands Jesus the scroll of the prophet Isaiah, and Jesus chose those verses that read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And what happens next is a bit like that moment we just had where I moved the Bible from the pulpit to the stand. There's that silence in the congregation as Jesus rolls up the scroll, places it in the awaiting hands of the religious official, and everyone is watching those moments as he walks back. They're waiting for his interpretation of these ancient words, his sermon. What would Jesus say today about these prophetic and powerful words to the community gathered? These are familiar words to them, ones that are attached to the description of the Messiah who was to come. And the people have been waiting for the fulfillment of promises made from generation to generation to Abraham and his descendants, echoing that song of the expecting Mary, the ways that God has shown strength with his arm, has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts, has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly, has filled the hungry with good things. The people are waiting. They are waiting for Jesus to announce the good news of great joy for all people, as the angels declared to the shepherds the day he was born. You can feel it. With bated breath, an alert expectation that hung in the air, they waited for him to say something, and he did something that absolutely no one expected. He sat back down. The text does not offer us any space for what would have happened in those moments from when he sat down and then he eventually spoke. You have to put on your imagination just a bit, not too much, though, because this wasn't a casual gathering. This wasn't just a Bible study of people walking in and out that Jesus happened upon. This was the Sabbath worship in the synagogue, and it had its order. There was the opening recitation of the Shema, kind of like the call to worship. And then the worshipers offered prayers together facing Jerusalem with a unison amen at the end. There would have been readings from the Torah and the prophets with that sermon following, and then worship wouldn't end until the benediction. They may not have had a bulletin to follow along with, but everyone knew the familiar rhythm and tradition. So I can see those looks of expectation of those gathered for worship quickly changing to ones of discomfort. Worshippers shifting in their pews, well, stone benches probably, but they're looking with those sideways glances. Doesn't he know he's supposed to, like, preach? Before fixing their eyes back on him with their silent pleas to not mess with our traditions. So finally, cutting through all that unspoken tension, Jesus still doesn't get up. But rather, from his seat, he offers his first and quite possibly the shortest sermon ever, by saying, "Today, the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." The first public word spoken by Jesus in Luke's gospel is the word "today." In fact, this is a favorite of Luke's. It appears 12 times throughout the gospel. "Today" conveys this sense of immediacy, that the fulfillment is a present reality. Today. And with that one word, Jesus' friends and neighbors want to throw him off a cliff. Well, not quite, but we'll talk more about that next week. But by all appearances of Jesus' disengaged posture of sitting back down contrasts his dynamic and active and disruptive message that today this scripture has been fulfilled. Today, in his very person, Isaiah's message to share God's news of release and grace and healing with all, especially those who are most vulnerable and in need, is made manifest. And today isn't just a one day and done sort of reality, but an ongoing and repetitive action. Today, this scripture is fulfilled. It continues to be fulfilled. It will keep being fulfilled, and therefore will keep needing to be fulfilled in your presence. In this word today, Jesus makes a deeply dangerous spiritual declaration to the community, reminding them and us that we are agents in God's longings and dreams for this world. Today, we go from being casual observers of God's kingdom to participating with Jesus as his church in the world. Today, the scripture has been fulfilled in our hearing. It is ours to ponder, is ours to respond to. And in reply to Jesus sitting in the pew to preach his sermon, one pastor wonders, what would change in our lives and in our churches if we stood in the pews on Sunday morning and declared to God and to one another that God gives us no other day than today to bring the good news to the poor, release to the captives, sight to the blind, and freedom to the oppressed, and new beginnings to all who have failed? Perhaps Jesus didn't need his first sermon to be long, because the sermon is ours to continue preaching and living. Jesus can sit down because he believes that today we are empowered with God's Spirit to stand up, to join him in mission and ministry. So friends, may our eyes and ears remain fixed on him as we move past that initial discomfort of not knowing what's going to happen next and go on to live today what the gospel, the good news, means for our lives and this world. Amen. Thank you. may be seated. Friends, the one to whom we turn our lives over has invited us to this table. So whoever you are and however you feel, for whatever reasons you come to this feast. Whatever your condition, whatever brokenness and hurts you bear, know that our host is the one who teaches, the one who heals, and the one who welcomes. Our Savior invites those who trust him to share this feast which he has prepared. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took the bread and he blessed it. He broke it, he gave it to them, and their eyes were opened. It was then they recognized him. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Holy are you, eternal one. You sit above, through, within the circle of setting light into being, casting the stars in the sky, and founding the evolving earth and all that dwells in it. Limitless is your power and great is your wisdom. You look upon the lowly and your most cherished creatures. You visit upon the downtrodden with presence and grace and the promise of justice. We give you thanks that you sent your own child, Jesus, who reached into unexpected places, calling men and women beyond the limits of their time, equipping them for nurturing love and welcoming children into your holy embrace. And so at this time, we join our voices with all those who seek you in every time and place, calling upon you with hope. Holy, 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 God our God, heaven and earth behold your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who provides the way out of sin and death. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you, God, and blessed is Jesus Christ, our Lord, our life. Glorified as your Son, Jesus came to reveal your kingdom. Teaching us about your love, he filled the hungry, comforted those who mourn, and welcomed all those on the margins of this world to his table. Refusing to let persecution, sin, and death have the final word, he went to the grave. As we remember his life and death, as we come to the table of the resurrection, we speak of that mystery we call faith.
Christ died, witness to the world. Christ rose, loving God with all that he was. Christ will come, blessing us forever.
Now send your Holy Spirit upon the bread and cup, simple gifts from creation which grace us with your life. And upon those who gather around your table, fed with the finest wheat, may we go forth to fill the lives of all whose emptiness imprisons them. Having tasted the cup of joy, may we bring the sweet honey of hope to those parched by despair. Welcomed without question at your table of grace, may we open our hearts to all who have been forsaken by the world. Through Christ, glory and honor, praise and thanksgiving are yours, God of new life, with the Holy Spirit and your holy people, on this first day of the week and in all the days to come. Amen. And we give thanks that Jesus, having faith in those gathered, brought his friends together around a similar table on the night before he gave himself over to the authorities for his death, so that they might remember how God's bread gives strength. He took common bread and made it holy, just as he takes common people, each and every one of us, and makes us holy. And he asks that to remember, he asks that we repeat this act again and again. And he did so, saying, "This is my body, broken for you. Take, eat, do this in remembrance of me." And knowing that we cannot live by bread alone, he took the cup as he did the bread, and he poured it so that we might remember the sight and the sound. He shared it among us, saying, "This is faith made new. Faith you wouldn't even know how to ask for. Faith that will surprise you. Faith that will sustain you. Whenever you drink this, do it in remembrance of me." We break bread and we drink from the cup, giving thanks for the love and the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, for the promise of new life, for the faith to hope anew. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Let us celebrate together.
Thank you. am the bread of life. Those who come to me will never be hungry, and those who believe in me will never thirst. Let us taste the goodness of God's grace. Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Taste the goodness of God's grace.
Let us pray. Generous God, we rejoice in the gifts of grace and faithfulness you offer us in this sacred meal. May we in turn open our lives to be bearers of grace wherever we may journey and with whomever we may meet. Amen.
It's a community fed and nourished by God's love and grace in our lives. We are strengthened and empowered to share God's love with those who are hurting and those who are celebrating. So we bring those prayers together. What are your joys and what are your concerns that you would like the community to hold in prayer this day?
Jan Brewer, first of all, I'd like to say thanks for the friends we found here at Lakeside and for all the support you've given me through the death of my brother. And also I'd like prayers for a friend whose husband is having major health problems. His heart is functioning at 5%.
Mm. Prayers for a friend of yours, Jan, whose heart isn't doing well. Other prayers today?
Tam Andalovsky. Prayers for a high school classmate of mine who lives in South Carolina. She was in a terrible car accident, broke her pelvis, both her legs. And part of the complication is she does not have insurance or benefits. She has been released from the hospital and is home recovering, but prayers for Cindy. It's going to be a really long road.
Yeah, prayers for Cindy and for all those who don't have health insurance and how that impacts their lives. Other prayers today? We continue to hold in prayer the Crandalls with their daughter as she is currently home and resting, and as she has discontinued the treatment for her cancer, we ask for prayers for peace for them and their daughter and her family. Prayers also this morning from our children. They've got a lot today. All right. Prayers of joy for toys and sledding and Power Rangers and spaghetti and meatballs and Super Bowl. That is like the best list ever. Prayers of concern for them and with them, for a friend whose dad died. Prayers of joy for going to Toronto and Pittsburgh for a birthday, for a new haircut, for Minecraft that's back on the computer. And I guess there's more of a story to that. Prayers for our scouts as they are selling cookies and popcorn, and prayers for exams. Prayers for those junior high kids and their advisors and the loss of sleep they had during their overnight. Prayers of concern for a mom who sprained her neck and jaw. And we continue our time of prayer. God of jubilee and freedom from oppression and healing for the afflicted, we gather to share and to hear your good news. We gather to be transformed as the world is changed. In this time of worship, we have been fed in body and soul. We sing and we pray, we break the bread and pour the cup. And God, may your spirit continue to fall upon us, that we may be refreshed and anointed and empowered. When our time of worship is ended, send us back out into the world to proclaim the good news. We pray this in the name and memory of Jesus, our rock and redeemer, our teacher and guide, in whom we find the path that leads to the kingdom, and who shared with us words for us to say together when we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us now with joy receive the morning offering.
Thank you.
Let us pray. God of grace, it is our delight and our devotion to give these gifts to you. All we are and all we have are yours alone. Accept this joyful offering as a token of our abiding love. Use it to bring peace, justice, and comfort to all the world. Amen.
Today the word has been fulfilled in your hearing. So go. Go to live as people loved by God, redeemed by our Lord Jesus Christ, and those given the courage to live it each and every day. Amen.
Oh.